Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Buongiorno.
Jay, as always...
I'm too far away from the mic.
You're too far away from the mic.
The problem is...
Jay Cross.
Do you know what, what I've noticed
yes.
is that you have the quietest and loudest voice at the same time.
Okay.
And it makes... You know, I'm obviously sat on the mixing
yes.
thing and... Sometimes I have to scale you way back
yes.
and sometimes way up.
See, I think the reason for that is there's a couple of reasons. One,
okay.
I really do think, and I know I said this sort of in jest yesterday when we were talking, but I do wonder if, because I've got quite a high voice, if we've just lost some of those frequencies talk at.
I'm visually looking at it on
okay.
a meter.
The main issue then is... I quite often move the mic away from me like that.
Why do you do that?
Because I gesticulate a lot with my hands and I don't want to knock the microphone over and then knock my tea over.
I was going to say, you almost knocked that tea
over. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's why... So I do apologise. I will try and regulate the volume and timbre of my voice.
It's good. Don't worry. The compressor will sort it out. As we know, compression makes everything better. So
use a pick.
Yeah, use a pick on Jay's voice. Anyway, thanks for joining us this evening. If you're joining us live on YouTube, if you're listening to the audio, also welcome. You should, you know, join us on YouTube one time while we're doing it live. We're doing it live. And you can ask us questions and stuff. If you're watching live on YouTube, do leave questions in the chat. Blimey, I'm podcasted out. For those those who are not in the Facebook group, we did Gear of the Year yesterday, which if any of our voices sound a little croaky, that is why, basically.
How long was it?
8 hours, something like that?
It wasn't eight hours.
Yeah, I think it was
6 hours.
No, I think it was about eight.
I think, yeah, because the first one,
we
finished the guitar. By the time we finally decided on the Gibson 2017 High Performance being the best guitar
spoilers.
Of the year. You know, by the time we finally decided on the Dean Razorback being the best guitar of 2017.
You mean the Spider 5?
Yes, that was the best guitar, I think, wasn't it? In fact, that won every category, didn't it?
I think it did, except
Line
6 Spider 5.
yeah, it was the worst amp of the year, but ironically, it won every other category.
I thought you said Ants. Like, best Ant
it
of
didn't
the year.
Win the ant comp- it didn't win the Ant group.
If this podcast is a little like this all the way through, that's probably why. It's because we did 9 hours yesterday.
It's going up every time I
ask. It was eight or nine.
About 12 hours yesterday,
hours.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. We haven't actually stopped podcasting since
We did talk about that, didn't we? Doing a 24 hours? I don't know if I can tolerate being in the same room as Joe for that long.
I'm working on a way where we're going to do some sort of charity extended, maybe 24-hour podcast.
Yeah, that's good.
The piece.
Yeah, Desert Bus for Peace. That's what we're going
to
do.
That's enough time for me to get drunk and sober up.
And
get drunk
again.
And be hungover and then drink
and
the Bloody Marys the next day.
Anyway, so...
it's 24 hours. You could, like... That's like 3 days for you, isn't it? You live life in, like, a weird time signature.
Yeah.
Aren't you... What are those...
He's living life in 7-8.
What are those... there's that... 7-8. Those people that live in, like... they live in 20-hour days. And so there's, like... You get an if you live your life with I'm sure it's 20
this is
hour,
not real
no
is
no
it?
Completely if you live in 20 hour days Like your clock is set to 20 hours and you get like an extra day each week.
What you're saying isn't true.
It's not. It's definitely a thing.
What's really weird about that, there's this phenomena that people who live like that have discovered, is that all of a sudden they don't have any friends anymore. It's really weird. All their friends just go away. So anyway, more of this probably to come in this podcast. Has everyone recovered? Do you feel...
I feel fine.
I feel, yeah.
We were talking about it. Joe and I were talking about it on Facebook earlier. You dreamt about podcasting.
I genuinely
fell asleep last night listening to a Kevin Smith podcast, and I was answering them back in my sleep. When Ella got in last night, she was like, "Yeah, you were talking to the podcast that you were listening to when I got in." I was trying to counter Kevin Smith's podcasting arguments in my sleep.
That's bad.
Because that's what we've been doing all day.
I can't remember exactly what, but I was still arguing with you guys, I think, because, you know, there was a particular thing that I thought should have really featured.
Did you literally dream about that thing?
Yeah. Okay. I was watching videos on that thing all day. I want to talk about it,
but
I can't
talk about it now.
Oh, it's so annoying.
We've got to keep quiet for another.
We have
10 weeks. Only 10 days or something, isn't it?
It's a little bit longer. It's a couple of weeks.
Then,
2 weeks today. Today is when the first one drops.
I'm going to do a podcast special just on that one thing.
Okay, fine.
Because it's the best thing to ever happen. It's
blowing your mind.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Matt Knight, have you recovered?
Yeah, I feel all right. I mean, I have to get up super early for work, so I'm sort of still tired. I've got a very busy week, so I'm just trying not to think about it.
Not content with podcasting all day, did you go home last night and completely rewire your pedal board?
No, not last night.
Was that Saturday?
No, that was Saturday. What? But I actually had to do it. Well, I needed to do it, but actually I've got to use it on Wednesday for some artists that are looking at some ES8 stuff, and they're doing some really complicated stuff with a whole band being patched through a mixer that's then being patched through an ES8, so they can be effects can be added in real time.
As opposed to what?
Well, as opposed to rather than just having someone on a mixer, someone's actually patching in with an ES8 and then doing stuff via MIDI with the ES8, and then controlling a mixer at the same time. So bringing different band members in and then being able to affect them in real time using the ES8.
Sorry if you can hear some sort of like either violent or sex noises in the background. Is that in this building?
I don't think so.
I think it's Matt.
Yeah, Matt. Have you got some like... Is you in the middle of an orgy there?
No, there's some kids outside.
Oh.
I had some rowdy kids outside.
Take back what I said before.
You've been neutered.
Anyway, so how did your board rewiring go?
Yeah, it's all right. It's still in process, actually. It's still... it's in the final phase.
How many pedals on your board this time?
Nine actual effects, but no.
Nine and an ES8, yeah?
And a couple of
separate
switches.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. It's actually, to be fair, compared to... Like, it's actually got mostly normal effects on it. In fact, the only weird effect on it is the count to five.
Yeah.
You don't have much modulation on your boards.
No,
normally.
I'd much rather have delay and reverb, I think. VB2 does everything for me.
Oh, you've got the VB2 on there.
Oh, and a phaser, but that's kind of it.
Nice.
Actually, though, today, the most important thing today was, and I don't know why, I think it must have been something, a hangover from the podcast. I bought a BBE Sonic Maximizer rack unit for £35 on eBay.
I remember those being in the racks in our production lessons when I was in college doing like music production, and it would instantly turn your rubbish mix, like your college mix, like terrible sounding drums, into something that sounds vaguely okay.
Yeah, it's weird. I kind of just like, I was like, I can't really remember what the pedal sounds like, and I was like, it's £35. I might as well just buy it and see what happens, because you can run it in, it's got two ins and two outs. There's two Sonic Maximizers in one unit.
Yes.
So you could EQ
for stereo mixes? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I suppose. But it's got a remote on and off, so it must be used in guitar rigs in some way, shape, or form. But I thought it'd be a laugh. I thought it'd be quite hilarious to just get that and see what it does.
Nice. So adding to your Filter Pro rack collection.
Yes. Yeah. So, but the rewire's going all right. I can always think I can do it neater, I think.
I am just not content with podcasting all day yesterday and then going for a band practice last night. This morning, I was up really early for one reason or another, and I was like, So I bought this DL4, which you brought down for me, Matthew, which we talked about last week. I put it on my board this morning.
Right.
It's really good.
They are really good.
I've forgotten how good they are. Honestly, because the pedal that it's replacing is the TC Electronic Alter Ego. It's so much better than that. It's so much better.
You can get most of the stuff from a DL4 on an M5, though.
You can do, but there's not... You can't have presets.
No.
I mean, in theory, I probably should go for an M5, but... Yeah. The DL4 is
such good value for
money.
It's
just so cool as well. Like, so for such a weird looking thing, it's actually a really cool
bit. They are really cool.
Iconic.
Really, they're an annoying size, but they are really...
No, but
it looks... Not big enough.
Yeah, it looks great on the board, though. Like, just the one... Because I've got a Pedal Train Junior, I think, or PT1.
Right.
I can't remember. You probably know better than I would.
I don't know which one you got.
I think you've got a Junior, haven't you?
Yeah, I think it's a Junior. What's that, Matt?
I think it's a Junior, because they don't make the one anymore. So
okay, yeah. Well, I bought it from you a little while ago, so
I'm pretty sure it's a Junior.
Okay, fine.
The Junior must barely be able to fit the DL4.
Yeah, it does. It does. That fits up the bottom right hand corner. Basically, is that
right?
Then all my kind of single effects along the top, and then the Flint and the Count to Five are also on that bottom.
I'm surprised you've gone first tier for a delay pedal.
No, it's on the bottom.
Yeah, so closest to your feet.
Yeah.
I'd have kept, like, drives and things.
Yeah, but
that
I'm not turning
more.
Stuff on and off, am I? Like, no, you
do. You've only got one drive anyway, haven't you? You've only got the...
I've got the soul food, and I'm going to get rid of that. I need to get something else, and I think...
What are you going
to
get? Are you going to keep something...
Probably can't... You're not going to talk about it?
I'm not going to talk about it, because it may impact the gear of the year. So...
It's the Line 6 Spider 5.
Of course,
it is. Yeah, I'm going to go...
It's full Line 6 now. After going for the DL4, he's been fully indoctrinated.
Yeah.
Have you seen that Variax he ordered as well?
I'm actually going... What was the Tone Core metal pedal called, Matty? Ultra metal?
Wasn't it just called the Uber metal?
Uber metal, that's the one. I'm deciding I'm going to put that straight on the board.
Perfect, Rammstein.
Yeah, it was the Uber metal.
What Matt's done with his Dan Electro pedals, I'm actually attempting to do with Line 6. I want to own one of everything.
Why wouldn't you?
Including the Backtrack recorder.
What were they called before they were Line 6?
Nothing. They were always Line 6. There's a story behind the name, but we can go into that at a different time.
You're thinking of Strymon.
Yes, I am thinking of Strymon.
Strymon is damage controlled.
They still are
in some way, shape, or form because the power supplies still say damage control Inc.
It's weird, isn't it? Because do you remember how bad damage control pedals were?
How funny that they had a delay pedal called the Timeline.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, very weird. Very, very weird indeed. Is there anything else that you guys want to cover before we dive into the news? I'll take that as no then. No.
Don't think so.
I think we talked to each other enough yesterday.
I was thinking about it, though, like about how we did everything yesterday and how kind of moving to this format of live streaming, and maybe I'm breaking the fourth wall here, but...
You just pointed at the camera.
I did. I kind of feel like we're getting all right at this now.
Yeah.
Because, like, if we tried to do... And, I mean, I realise that you had to do all this, and it's just something I never thought about back in the day when we first started, but editing, an eight-hour podcast, I bet was a complete nightmare.
Yeah.
With Joe, like, dropping in F-bombs and me being like, oh, actually, I can't remember what I'm talking about anymore, so can we hold off?
Yeah, we don't really do that anymore because we're under such pressure to do this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I used to do it all the time.
I know. We used to do it just to murk him off.
You used to sort of say stuff that was, like, hideously unbroadcastable.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've not had one of those yet, and we've been doing this...
In fact, the only F-bomb has come from you.
I know.
Recently.
I know. I did drop a... You dropped a bomb yesterday.
Did I?
You did. It slipped out. So if you're listening to Gear of the Year,
we must have been so far into it that I couldn't even tell.
Yeah, you just a little bomb drop.
On non-guitar related news, which is very, very exciting, Kraftwerk have just announced they're performing at the Brighton Centre.
They have. Kraftwerk have actually just announced I'm really interested in this because Kraftwerk have just announced a full tour. It's like 10 days, including, I think it was 3 dates at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, but it's one of the only bands on my must-see before I die list.
But what I don't really understand is that like, it's all being listed as like they're doing a 3D tour.
Yeah.
I mean, surely if the people are there, then it's 3D. But what does it mean? Is it like a light show or something?
You know, you wear 3D glasses and the whole light show behind them is all like three-dimensional.
That sounds rubbish.
But the problem is that everyone who likes Kraftwerk wears glasses. Like, already.
You can wear 3D glasses over glasses.
Oh, can you? Can you, Matt? Is that something you're experienced in? It's just a nightmare.
Make
it's
sure when you do that, nightmare. Jay, if you could take a photo and send it directly to me. Don't even put it on the Facebook group. I just want to laugh on my own.
Me wearing glasses yeah, over the top glasses. Of the glasses.
Absolute Dorcas Malorcas.
A couple of people I know who, because they've been doing this for a while, a couple of people I know who went, Sparky went, our friend Sparky went, and said it was one of the most incredible things that he'd ever seen.
Yeah.
One band I'd really, really, really love to see. And massively into effects, and we have them to thank for kind of drum machines, synthesizers, vocoders. You know, they were pioneers in kind of a lot of the stuff that I suppose now is guitar, synth, technology. You know, they were actually building it. Didn't exist. They had to make it.
Really?
They made their own vocoders.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and their own drum machines as well.
I was going to say, while we're talking about worn out old codgers, I listened to the new Rolling Stones album.
Okay.
Oh God, that's even worse.
Listen to that new album, man. It's really good. I mean, the last thing I thought I'd be saying in nearly 2017, me coming on here and going, yeah, check out the latest Rolling Stones album.
Actually, that's exactly the sort of
crap
I expected.
You're terrible. You're awful. That album,
truly breaching mid-30s. Yeah, on those old guys rule t-shirts for Christmas.
Like, I know last week I came on and said, like, listen to a load of 70s Chuck Berry. but I was expecting to put this album on and be like, this is utter pap. Turns out it's pretty awesome.
This is why like Spotify is going to continue to do all right, because I saw that advert come up this morning and I went, there's absolutely no way I'm listening to that.
I think you in particular, out of all of us, would get a real kick out of this album. It's proper like old school blues, like not like
really? What, like Delta?
Not like rumpy pumpy blues. It's
that's
like,
what I'm into.
Yeah, it is like heavily Delta inspired.
Okay.
The guitar sounds are awesome. The playing's really good. It's just no messing around. There's loads of, I mean, you'll like it in particular, loads of distortion on the vocals.
Cool, yeah.
It's really good. Okay. It's like a proper good, like just, four or five blokes just jamming in a room, making some actually good music. And I,
for the first time since about 1970.
Well, totally. I expected it to be like overproduced, absolute, you know, tosh, and it was really good.
Is it even them on the record though?
Well,
could
who
they
knows?
Even make it to the studio?
Who knows? It's honestly, I thought it was top notch. Anyway,
just as a before you jump in, there is actually one thing that is a bit relevant here. Juan in the YouTube comments has said that there actually is a connection between Damage Control. Apparently, and Line 6.
Okay.
One of the industrial designers is the same and did the casings for the DL4, and then
which
moved
is
to,
why they look quite similar.
Then moved to Damage Control and presumably Strymon.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. We'll look into that.
So there
some
we
more.
Go. So there is a link.
Maybe that could be. Your brand of the week in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, sure. No, brand of the week has to be guitars. That's
does
deal.
It?
Yeah. It was a reaction against everything else we talk about being pedals.
Fine. Line 6 made some guitars.
Oh. Yeah, Variax. Mark was looking at buying one.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Definitely was not. Anyway, let's dive headfirst into the news. Good. Loads and loads of news this week. Some big stuff.
There seems to be some big stuff.
Everyone is just like going,
it's the end of the
year. You know NAMM's coming up. Let's not bother with that. Should we just announce all the news?
What's the point in NAMM anymore when everyone announces it like
a
few weeks
before? This is kind of what I think. Like, we were talking about, you know, should we go, should we not go? Oh, is there any benefit to us going? There would definitely be benefit in us going there and doing some video stuff, I think, of mainly just us pissing about on a nice, like, holiday. I think that would be fun. But we're going to get all the guitar news that we need probably a week or so before.
Most of the stuff is actually in stock now.
Yeah.
I suppose most brands want to kind of announce it now so people kind of get excited to see it when it's there, because I suppose at NAMM now there's so much to see.
Totally.
You know, it's difficult. Obviously, you're going to go and see all the big brands, but it's like the smaller brands that might not necessarily get a chance. So I think that's why you're kind of seeing a lot of companies just announce everything now.
Yeah, get it
and
out.
I suppose it almost gives you a little bit of a buffer, because for a while, NAMM was always the place where you saw the kind of early stuff, but then Frankfurt was where you saw the kind of finished product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way.
Absolutely.
So, but then also, I suppose people want to actually have the stock in the shops as soon as 2017 hits.
Well, I think the key thing here is that, you know, if you announce it now and you're starting to get some of the stock out there now, by the time the big push comes for NAMM in January, you know, it'll already be in stores. And you don't get that thing that we experience with quite a few like boutique pedal builders where they're like, we're announcing this at NAMM. Oh, when's it coming out? 3 years' time.
Well, see, that's the thing that I don't... like, that's what I think is really weird. And we're about to see that with some of the stuff that we're talking about now. So I'm just going to segue straight in. I hope you don't mind.
Well, should we dive into... should we do it in the order it's written down?
Okay.
Well, no, we don't have to. Go on, make your point.
The point that I wanted to make is... Only Bought Music Man have just announced 27 new guitars. Now, as far as I can tell, there's only one model that's new, and the rest are just new finishes.
Yeah.
But they all are listed as they start shipping 3rd of March next year. So, like, they're announcing them 6 months, well, you know, 4 months in advance.
Yeah.
I just don't really get it because I can't. I kind of feel like we're at the point now, or at least we're certainly moving to the point where, like, people aren't that patient. People want stuff now. They want, like, which is why I think companies like Boss have been so successful, you know, recently. And, you know, to a certain degree, you've got, like, Electroharmonix doing the same thing.
Just announce it, it's in the shops.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just, you announce it, the hype's there. And because, you know, so often people go like, oh, this is wicked, this is wicked. And then by the time it's come out, something else has come out and they've spun their money, you know?
Yeah. It's difficult, isn't it? Particularly with Music Man, because, you know, if you were to order one of those guitars custom, you'd be looking at probably a year for it to be delivered anyway. So,
yeah.
And particularly with the amount of new finishes and stuff, there are 27 new things.
They're pretty much all brilliant, I think.
Should we do a little rundown?
Yeah, let's do a rundown.
Okay, go on, Jay. You've got the information in front of you there.
Okay, so I guess the big news, although to us probably not the most exciting news, but the big news is there is a new John Petrucci model, which is the Majesty Monarchy series. So the Majesty is the guitar that he's been running with for however long it's been going. But I think one of the big things that people didn't really get on with it was a plain finish. So they've released the Majesty Monarchy. No, the Monarchy Majesties.
Yeah.
Which there's four finishes. Which are Black Knight, Imperial Blue, Majestic Purple, and Royal Red, both available in 6 or 7 string, and they've all got like a flame top, a piezo, a DiMarzio Sonic Ecstasy, which I don't think I've ever heard before.
No, never heard that name before.
So if you want to sound like John Petrucci but you don't have any of the other 50 guitars that he's put out, then there's this one for you.
I really like these guitars. I know, super cool. I mean I never ever will be able to play like him, but I just think, not so much into the kind of the flame top ones but the plainer ones, I just think awesome guitars.
The problem that
I just love them, the problem that I have with those
in particular is, like, I really like the body shape. You know, Music Man, you know the quality's going to be high. I just can't get over that shield design down the centre.
No,
just looks, to me, just looks bad. Like,
I did prefer
bad
the normal JP, I thought was...
Yeah,
was,
me too.
Was,
well,
a
there's
great
one, there's
functional...
one of them. There's one of them coming as well, don't worry.
Yeah,
he's done one of them as well.
Right.
But yeah, it's just a bit weird. So one of these guitars that you can get is it's the John Petrucci Monarchy Majesty in Majestic Purple.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on there. So yeah, there's that. Then there's the other John Petrucci, which is the JP15.
Yep.
Right.
Which is like his Strat style one.
Yeah, sort of super Strat, double cut.
Yeah, it's more
that's
like
the bread and butter John Petrucci model.
It's a more traditional Ernie Ball. So I wonder why it's called the 15. Is it like the 15th anniversary JP?
I don't know, because there's loads of different... there's loads of JP models.
Maybe. I just seem to remember that being released very early on in the 2000s.
But they're cool. They're doing some there with complete baked maple necks. Or is that like a Pal Faro?
No, that'll be, I think, because they offer that roasted maple, don't they?
So that's available, again, in 6 or 7, and it's only in that one finish of translucent teal. But you can get it in Quilt or Flame. I just, like, so just to quickly offer a slight spoiler into what we talked about on Gear of the Year, which we recorded yesterday.
No spoilers.
Only a slight thing, in that we sort of went on a bit of a tangent about how it was cool that what Ernie Ball appeared to be doing is really, like, cutting back the number of options that they're offering on their guitars.
Yeah.
Which makes them more desirable for guitar stores to then want to be like, okay, cool, we will stock these guitars. But with this announcement, they appear to be doing the exact opposite of that again.
I think what was different about the old ones with John Petrucci is you could have different inlays, different frets, piezo, non-piezo, six or seven string.
Yeah.
You know, with this, you're just getting a range of colour options,
three
which you're going to get with Fender.
What
they're doing is they're streamlining the models.
Yeah.
They're just offering more colour options, but they're not offering all the options in terms of different inlays.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, so yeah. Okay, well, that's good.
So what's next?
I think they're making it more appealing to have on a shop floor, because I think that's always been a problem for a retailer, is that it's not a particularly appealing brand to have on the shop floor.
Yeah.
Because the only ones you sell for a lot of the time are the John Petrucci's.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I see some St. Vincent's in that list, Jay. Well,
so, yeah, I mean, that's
this is probably the most exciting thing.
I think
thing,
so. This definitely. Is the most exciting. So they are releasing... Well, I say it's the most exciting after just spending a minute ranting about how they need to cut back on the number of finishes that they're doing on their guitars. But the St. Vincent, which was one of our favourite guitars of last year, is having a bit of a revamp with four new finishes.
Oh, God. And all of them great, and all of them totally different.
Absolutely,
well.
Yeah.
I love that they've managed to capture like four very different looks with one instrument, with the same pickup configuration.
Absolutely. So there's, and also that, like, it seems like they're going after slightly different markets. Like they've released the St. Vincent in a stealth black, which looks absolutely astonishing. Like really, really stark. So it's like a matte black finish with. The pickups are matte black. They're almost EMG. I mean, they look like EMGs, but obviously they're mini humbuckers. So, you know, it looks wild. And it's also got an ebony board on a maple neck. So that is just...
Because normally it's a complete rosewood neck.
Complete rosewood neck, which is what the rest of the models are.
I love that they've done that, because they've aimed that at a
specifically
much more
at like metal
market.
Yeah.
Because the body shape works for that.
The only thing I've got with matte black guitars... is one, they look cheap compared to the price of it, but they stain
they
so
do,
quickly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that was
that's
always
the thing. And once they stain, that's it. You could never clean them because you can't spray them with polish.
Fingerprints. A classic for greasy fingerprints in a guitar store.
That was always the issue whenever anyone wanted to buy one in the shop.
I like the way matte black guitars look when they're a bit sort of, you know, greased up and stuff.
I don't know. I think matte black looks cool when it's like fresh out of the box. Once it's covered in grease, it starts to look like you've just eaten a massive pizza and then played guitar.
Fair enough.
So there's that. And then, again, as Joe mentioned, there's they've reverted back to the standard neck, which is a one piece rosewood neck, for the next two finishes in like a sunburst, which even I think looks really good, and I don't like sunburst.
Is that chrome hardware or gold hardware?
Chrome hardware. Okay.
Do you still get the trem on the stealth black
version?
You do.
Yes, you do. Right. Yeah. Oh, cool. So there's that, and then a Polaris white, which I think looks absolutely astonishing.
Kind of, that's Olympic whitey, isn't it?
It's basically
the J Cross special.
I mean, it looks amazing. Like that color with that neck, just absolutely astonishing. And then going after like a bit more of a classy look as well.
Yeah, a bit more regal.
With the whatever that red is. It does say somewhere. I can't remember what the red's called. It's Heritage Red with gold hardware.
And
even the inlay is gold as well.
And is it pearl tuners or is it gold tuners?
Those do appear to be pearloid tuners, yeah.
So it's like a super regal version.
Yeah, it looks really, really smart.
I think it's great that they've managed to do that. And of course, it's got really individual, like, triangular volume and tone controls on the guitar as well, which they've colour matched to the guitar. So on the Heritage red one, it's gold. On the white one, they're white. Obviously on the stealth black one they're black, but it's they're chrome on the sunburst one. It's great, everything's so tied in, and they are four completely unique finishes that give the guitar such a different look
that work really well alongside the existing models.
Really welcome addition, I think
so.
A great guitar to expand to be like a standard model in their range.
yeah So there's a couple of basses stuck in here as well.
Yeah,
so
the basses are less
exciting.
It's exciting, aren't they? I guess, yeah, we've got sort of like a roasted maple neck five-string Music Man Stingray.
Interesting thing behind that is that so Ernie Ball have always done, or Music Man have always done, anniversary models for important anniversaries. So one of the basses of theirs that I like the most, and one that I got offered at a really cheap price and didn't buy it, is the 20th anniversary Stingray. Uh-huh. It's literally one of the best looking instruments I've ever seen. It's a like maple top, purloined scratch, not purloined scratch, but tortoiseshell scratch plate,
right.
Tortoiseshell bound Stingray. It's so good. And if you ever see them come up at a reasonable price, like, do buy them, because they're like massively sought after by collectors. And they've sort of done that. So this is the 30th anniversary of the five string, right? For this, five string with a similar sort of vibe. It's kind of a, what is it, like a white with a tortoiseshell,
yeah,
with
the
baked
maple. Yeah, it's like a through white, isn't it?
But they do, I know that they did, for the 30th anniversary of the four string, they did like a wine red Stingray that looks
kind of like the St. Vincent that we just talked about.
Yeah, kind of, but not gold hardware. It was like hardware. It was really nice.
The,
what, sorry?
It was really nice.
It was really nice.
They've also announced some more non-limited versions by the looks of things, which is just a standard, just another couple of colours of the Stingray 5. There's a Fire Mist Purple, Fire Mist Purple and Fire Mist Gold with black hardware, and Powder Blue with chrome hardware.
So just basically a load of new colours for standard models.
Yeah. Although that Fire Mist Purple appears to only have a bridge pickup, whereas
yeah, you can get either.
You get.
Yeah, can you? Okay, yeah. You can choose between the two. Can you?
Yeah.
A lot of the basses, to be honest, are quite average in comparison to their guitar releases this year. I really feel like they're pushing their guitar front Music Man. The most interesting bass release is that they have done a graffiti yellow.
Yes.
Bongo.
Music Man. No. Stingray with a blacked.
I'm not sure about humbucker and black hardware. It's weird. It looks like there's no pickup on there.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
But they have also brought back the bongo, and they've done the same finish in the bongo as well. What a classic instrument.
It's such a weird guitar.
Just when you
That's
wanted
my favorite bass.
When you wanted a bass that looks like it's made out of an expensive toilet seat, you buy the Music Man bongo.
There has never been an instrument to look so much like a toilet seat.
It looks exactly like a wasn't it designed with BMW or something? It was designed with like a high-end, or Mercedes or something. It was designed in conjunction with like a high-end car manufacturer.
Right.
What they've delivered is a toilet seat with some strings on it. It's horrendous.
It's probably the worst looking guitar, the worst looking bass that's still in production today.
Looks like a fish. Like the whole thing looks like a fish. Like the body of it looks like
mean.
A fish.
Yeah.
And then there's
a little tail.
So if you want a laugh and you haven't seen what a Music Man bongo is, everyone, please type that into your browsers and
indeed.
Have a butchers.
So there's that, and there's probably one
more interesting guitar to talk about,
there's two. So there's the old Smoothie. Is that an existing model?
No. Yeah. That's
just a P bass, really, isn't it?
No, the old Smoothie is just that they have a different pickup. So originally, when Music Man were designing the Stingray, rather than the Stingray pickup, which we know and love today, which is an 8-pole. Pickup, they designed it as a 16, so it's ridiculous. And that the pickup in the old Smoothie is the original design, the 16.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
They bring it out occasionally for anniversaries and such.
Do you want to talk about one more from there, Jay? Maybe the Stingray guitar?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the Stingray guitar is kind of it's got a similar thing going on to it, like the cut. So there's also been a couple of Cutlass reissues, just in different finishes. And then the Stingray guitar is kind of it's kind of got the same sort of body shape as the Stingray bass, kind of.
It's kind of a bit offsetty.
Yeah,
the Stingray I feel is like a more classic version of the Albert Lee. In sort of the way it looks, because the Albert Lee's been such a staple, like that's been the Music Man guitar for people who aren't into jazz fusion or metal. Sort of that the Albert Lee's always been the most normal of Ernie Ball's guitars, and it's still a bit weird,
Futury.
So this is them really going after the classic market and making something that looks super trad, but with the same sort of format as the Albert Lee. I.e.
two humbuckers. Interesting, like just a volume and tone, three-way selector. I think what they've gone for here is, you know, Music Man don't take up a huge market share of the guitar market, do they? You know, it's Fender, Gibson, and I guess PRS. This is a guitar that you wouldn't necessarily have to be into the quirks that Music Man guitars usually have. It's just a two humbucker guitar with a trem, volume and tone. Pretty simple stuff, really.
But you know, like, you're going to get something that's extremely high quality.
Yeah, completely. And we talk about that a little more in Gear of the Year. Not on that particular guitar, not spoiling anything, but Music Man quality we certainly talk about. So, talking about Fender as being having a huge market share, Fender released some new stuff. Joe Branton, or who wants to talk about it? Matt Knight, actually.
Give it to Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
I haven't done a huge amount of reading into it.
Oh yeah, lazy.
Do you know what? A part of me just can't get excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so we'll say what it is.
Like, I really like the Elite, and then I'm kind of like, but you've got the standard Strat.
We haven't said what it is. The announcement is that Fender have released the Professional series,
discontinuing the standard series,
the American standard
entirely, and we're now looking at American Professional for 2017.
Yes.
Do you want to give us the rundown of what the range comprises of?
Well, there are some good things and there are some bad things, as Matt pointed out. I think the bad things are the alterations. So these are very much filling a similar gap, I think, to the American standards. They are a modern Fender in that sense. They've made a few things which are interesting. They've gone for thicker necks generally throughout and tall, thin frets, which is quite an unusual choice. Not a very popular choice. So putting that on your, I guess, most standard of guitars just seems like an odd direction, I think. They've also introduced some finishes which I can only describe as bland. Sonic Grey and Antique Olive, which couldn't be less inspiring.
That's almost as bad as olive drab or whatever.
It was olive drab was a Fender colour.
And they've got weird. You know how everyone loves two colour and three colour sunbursts. You know how successful those finishes are for Fender.
Yeah.
Well, they've got a new sunburst called Sienna Sunburst.
No, that's not new,
isn't
Joe
it?
Branton. Come on, 1980s that finish.
Oh. Well, it's very, very good.
Better than normal sunburst.
First introduced, I believe, by Dan Smith, who passed away this year.
That's rubbish. But it's a rubbish.
Having said that, there are some terrible colours, boring colours in this new range, but there is also what they're calling Mystic Seafoam, which looks awesome.
Don't get me wrong, there are some cool colours. The other cool things are that within this range we've got Strats, we've got Tellies,
yes,
we've got Jazz Basses,
yes,
we've got Precision Basses,
all the same, always the same,
we've got Jaguars,
wow, okay,
and we've got Jazz Masters.
Nice.
So that is pretty cool. Offsets making like a standard you know, sort of place within the Fender range. That's super cool.
That's the real big news here, isn't it? That yeah. there's now two offset guitars in the American Standard range. One thing that, or there's a couple of things of interest, and one thing that bugged me is that certain colours are only available with certain necks. So you get like rosewood in two different colours and maple in two different colours.
Which is how Music Man do it on all their new stuff
Of course, but it just seems weird to me that you can't get like a sunburst with a rosewood neck, I don't think, in some of them.
Have they gone maple?
I need to look at the list of colours actually. But it does seem very... Or the Mystic Seafoam, I believe you can't get with a rosewood board.
Yeah, you can only get it in maple.
Which
maple.
Just seems weird. I understand they're trying to cut down, obviously, you know, they've added two new models to the line. So they're trying to cut down the amount that needs to be on shop floors, I guess. But it's always nice to have the option. You know, if you like that Mystic Seafoam, but you want rosewood, you just can't get it.
Yeah,
which seems very weird to me.
So the new range is hitting the shelf at a little bit more money than the American standards as well. We're looking at around £1,500.
Yes.
I haven't seen what they're hitting the States at.
I assume it'll be the same. It'll be $1,500, probably.
I just remember, like, 5 years ago, you could buy a Custom Shop Custom Deluxe for $1,599.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. My worry with this is if this range is coming in at £1,500, is the American Vintage going to shoot up again?
They stopped the American Vintage, didn't they?
No, they still got models.
Yeah.
But that's the concern. That's kind of the price point of the American Vintage, because the thing with American Vintage is it started off being too expensive. It started off being like $2,000.
Absolutely. Well, they were
1,800.
Yeah, they were like 1,800 quid.
And they brought it down. Yeah, they weren't selling it there because it was too close to Custom Shop.
Correct. Yeah,
they brought
absolutely.
It down to sort of £1,400 mark, and that was great. That was exactly where they needed to sit. So it will be interesting to see what happens. The American professionals, whether they throw them off or not.
Bit of trivia for you. The new pickups they're putting in everything are called the V-Mod series.
Yeah.
I can't remember the fella's name, but he has designed them. He was the designer behind the Fender Big Block pickups for that. Wildly successful range of basses.
Fender Big Blocks. And which guitars. Were basically precision basses with Music Man copy pickups in
them. Yeah, like a double jazz.
Yeah.
Was it not Tim Shaw? Because Tim Shaw is designing the pickups.
No. It's not Tim Shaw. Tim Shaw is doing the humbuckers in
the Strats.
He's done the single coils in the Tele and in the Strat.
Tim Shaw is not the designer behind the V-Mod pickups.
He is.
He's not.
The V-Mod pickups, developed by pickup master Tim Shaw, are brand new single coil pickups voiced specifically for each position.
Is that just on the Strats and Teles, or is that on the...
I think that's on the Strats and the Teles.
I think I'm thinking of the Jazzmaster and the Jaguar.
So they've got two... they can't have two
designers. I was reading about it yesterday.
I mean, this is on the PMT website. Maybe they've got it wrong, I guess.
Yeah, don't read them.
I'll look it up. But anyway, I was reading about it yesterday, and the V-Mod stuff, at least some of the V-Mod stuff, is designed by the guy who did the Big Block.
Left-handed players will be excited.
Ridiculous.
No, what are you talking about? Left-handed players in Fender normally get a choice of black or sunburst. Fender have expanded that, so now in most ranges, left-handed players can get a choice of black, sunburst, or... Sonic Grey.
Well, yeah, but only on like none of the offsets.
No,
and there's still no choice of neck, of fingerboard material.
No,
and I'm not even sure. Are they doing Butterscotch Blonde in the Tele?
Yeah, that's it.
Lefties
have been cut out.
What are you doing?
Yes. I was only joking. No one ever wants a guitar in Sonic Grey. That is literally doomed to failure.
I just think... I really just think it's... I'm so exasperated by how dreadful these companies are with left-handed guitar. I'm so bored of, like...
Joe, you're properly on one tonight.
I'm just so bored of having, like...
You had a go at Music Man. Now you're having a go at Fender. This is what I'm supposed to do.
It's just, like... It's so easy to do left-handed guitars, like with all these finished models.
Talk about a bit of news that we can all get a bit angry about?
Go on.
The Fender.
Okay.
Late night tube. Inspired Stratocaster.
Yeah.
I'm willing to let you take this one because I'm furious about it, and I want to find out who designed these pickups.
Okay.
All right.
Joe Brandon, lead the way.
Okay. So what does that mean? What am I saying?
Matt's got his London defences. They're backed up.
Matt's basically going to say that we're like Londonists if we don't like this.
Fender have teamed up.
I mean, all it is a limited edition Strat. It's kind of like, yeah, and they're only for sale in one place.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're not even going to see them in guitar shops.
So why don't you tell the listeners and viewers what it is, Matt Knight?
So it is the Fender Night Tube guitar, which is basically a custom-finished Fender American Standard Strat in a nighttime-finished tube map representing the recently launched Night Tube service in London.
Exactly.
That is it, basically.
They've managed to get Ronnie Wood on board somehow. I assume he was drunk or drugged up, but he's signed one, and they're giving that one away for charity as well.
Yeah. Do you not like the kids, Joe? Are you against them selling it?
I've heard the charity hates the kids.
It's going to the charity, the Railway Kids, which I thought was a book. So
very good.
Enough people must have bought them, because this is not the first one they've done.
No, that's actually true. They've done a regular tube finish Strat before.
Yes, they did, yes. And I did actually go and see it last time I was in Covent Garden at the TFL Museum. I walked in because I remember seeing them last time they were launched.
Why were you at the TFL Museum?
Yeah.
It's, if you ever go to Covent Garden, it's like a massive building at Covent Garden. So you just walk past it if you're just walking through the market.
Okay.
And I remember last time they relaunched the normal tube Strat, I popped in to go and see it.
They only had one.
They are actually really only available for sale online. But once again, it is just a collector's piece, yeah, I think. Yeah, yeah, that's course, at the course. End of the day.
It's just like, a weird thing to celebrate.
But it is very weird, and also, we're paying for that.
Yeah, I know.
TFL is a public company, so...
Yeah.
They're a non-profit company, though.
But it's still a tax-funded company.
I wish Fender had put a little bit more effort into this, and maybe had it so the tube map in some way lined up with the pickups, so you know, and the pickup selector could then have been labelled, so you could have been choosing like Piccadilly, you know, instead of like the neck pickup.
They're sort of celebrating the iconic map.
Yeah,
it was designed in like the 1930s.
Yeah,
can't mess with the classic, Joe.
No, you know, but they could have, you know.
I'm going to vindicate myself here. Michael Frank is the designer of the V-Mod pickups.
Oh, well done.
The Shawbuckers are certainly designed by Mr. Tim Shaw.
Right.
But the V-Mods, from what I've read, are designed by Michael Frank, who designed the Big Block bass pickup.
Right.
And some other stuff as well.
I thought I read something about how didn't he do like, he was something to do with like the Lace sensors as
no,
well?
No, Eric Johnson's Strat, I think. Eric Johnson's pickups for his Strat.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think that's the Fender thing.
Okay.
Anyway, we haven't seen any of these guitars in the flesh, so it's difficult to tell what they sound like.
That tube map guitar is like, it looks like it's a Mexican...
It is Mexican body
with an American.
American.
It's a Mexican body with an American neck.
Yeah, I think that's...
I think they've done another one like Roland did. Do you remember when that Roland guitar came out and they were like, "Oh yeah, well this one, wait for it, it's Mexican body but American neck." Yeah, and I was just like, "That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make any difference."
Yeah, it's difficult.
And I think that's what they've done with this as well.
It's difficult to tell. It's definitely an American neck. It's got U.S. serial number and all
but
that.
But it also says made in Mexico on it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, very
I
weird.
I don't know what's going on with
anyway,
it.
Anyway, so let's
make
move
some
on
left-handed guitars instead of this.
Let's move on to the next bit of news. KHDK Electronics announced the Dark Blood Overdrive. Matt Knight, you love pedals and that. Will you love the Dark Blood Overdrive?
I don't know. I think initially when they first announced these pedals, I was kind of like, I can't believe that Kirk Hammett has got his own signature line of pedals. But at the end of the day, it could have been anyone that kind of like picked out these designs and had them made, and actually I kind of don't want to say anything about them until I actually give them a go. I haven't seen them in any stores yet, which is a shame, because I haven't actually had a chance to plug them in, but he did actually use it on the new record.
Which
I haven't actually had a chance to listen
really?
To yet so,
did he? Yeah. did he plug his 59 into it?
I did actually read an interview recently. He said that features quite heavily, the 59 features quite heavily on the new record.
Quality.
It's a classic metal guitar. That mind you,
it's kind of amazing.
I mean,
though,
he's taken out the pickups
like...
and replaced them with EMGs.
But you think, like, that guitar has now been in, like, the hands of, like, three massive players in, like, three huge bands, really.
Yeah.
It's got to be, like, one of the most iconic guitars ever.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Really? Definitely.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, well, I mean, it was owned, it's been owned by Peter Green.
Gary Moore.
Gary Moore. What's his name?
Melvin Bragg, the radio presenter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then someone else, and then Kirk Hammett. Like, that's a pretty big lineup of people.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. I think you've got a good shout of saying that that is the most iconic guitar of all time.
Yeah. I think
maybe
it's definitely up there.
We should do a podcast on it.
Yeah.
We should do an iconic guitar
what's
of all time.
What's the most
podcast.
Iconic guitar of all time? Should we do a couple more bits of news, and then I think we should do some questions, and then Joe, I think we should do Brand of the Week in the Patreon episode this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so. I think, well, we're going to run out of time on this episode.
Yeah,
so.
We are quite far through. I guess there's lots of news. Should we do some amp news?
A lot of news. There is a bit of amp news. Hughes and Kettner have just announced the Grandmeister Deluxe 40. Joe Brandon,
it's
tell us about it.
It's the first time we've seen anything from Hughes and Kettner in a little while. I feel that they've been a bit quiet on the old front.
They sort of just keep releasing the same type of amp over and over again.
This is exactly that. They have released a 40-watt version of the Grandmeister.
Any new features, Matt?
Isn't the Grandmeister already 40 watts, though? That's what confused me. I'm a bit lost with Hughes and Kettner. I think I fell out of the loop. Having not sold them for a while, I think I fell out of the loop of what actually their current product lineup was.
So this is the Deluxe. So
yeah.
I don't.
So the Deluxe has their
the Grandmeister
red box.
Was nor-
they all have the red box.
Yeah, I think they all have the red box built in.
This one's got a new one, though, I think. Yeah. It's a new design.
And a DI speaker sim.
That is the red
box. Yeah, basically.
And there's a free optional app for the iPad, which lets players watch, touch, and control all of the amp's features on one handy screen.
I assume that is the Deluxe part of it, then.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think...
I mean, how good is that? So you can... I mean, you can... stand
on,
in front of your amp with an app.
Come on, what's the brand and angle on this one? Come on, think quickly.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You can stand in front of your amp, but instead of having to touch your amp, you can control the controls on your iPad, which is slightly closer to you than the amp.
128 presets.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
the Grandmaster.
I mean,
didn't have
I would. They've all had 128 presets because MIDI.
Because of MIDI, of course. Yeah. Okay.
Will MIDI will allow 0 to 127?
Yeah.
So they'll all have 128 presets. So I was just looking at their current lineup because they still do the TubeMeister 18 and 36. Then they did the TubeMeister Deluxe 20 and 40, which are the ones I remember. They had the Grandmaster 36, and I think this is the newest version of that. Basically.
Yes. Okay.
But I mean, I suppose not the problem. For me, what I've not necessarily always enjoyed with Hughes and Kettner is that the cleans are great. They're very bright and they're very to the point, but the drive, to me, always sounded a tiny bit sterile. I don't know if that's kind of the right word, but it didn't have
some
of the character of kind of...
Just like a bit clinical. Like, sometimes the problem that I have with Boogie, I have the same thing. It's just like... oh, come on, this is so, like, it's so to the point, like you're saying, so,
yeah,
like,
so tight
sounding.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I think that's kind of, if you're after that sort of sound, that's what TubeMeisters and Hughes and Kettner are there for.
I guess so. What it means for me with that kind of sound is, like, you basically have to have a delay pedal in there just to, like, just means that it's not, like you say, so, like, on-the-nose sounding, not so tight sounding. You put a delay in there to, like, beef it up a little bit, but then... I don't know. I mean, I own a Hughes and Kettner. I just don't use the drive channel. I use the clean channel.
Yeah.
And that works really, really well. And I just think...
I think they're great platforms. They're great platforms for people who have large boards.
Well,
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's why, you know, having 128 presets and stuff, you know, if you're using something like a, you know, a MIDI switcher or, you know, a pedal board, like looper with MIDI and stuff built in, this is kind of like the perfect amp because you can get the full range of sounds.
I'd really like to hear this one because I kind of feel like Hughes and Kettner are getting a little bit forgotten at the moment because they offer this sort of
super
clean.
It's the same thing in different
boxes.
Well,
yeah, but they've always been like a bit of a boutique company, but we've seen such a massive surge in boutique companies like Sir and like Morgan and Friedman. Yeah. all sort of taking, whilst they may make amps that sound very different, it's sort of taking that area of the market. And Hughes and Kettner have been left still producing the same things, and I think we've forgotten about them. I don't think they're bad amps. I think they're great amps.
What they are doing, I think, which no one else is really doing, is doing valve amps that have similar, not similar sort of tech, but levels of tech that you'd find in, let's say, a Kemper or an Axe Effect.
Yeah, you know, I guess that's the other problem.
People have moved away from that. I think the market's split into like
completely
retro stuff or digital stuff.
Yeah.
And Hughes and Kettner sit somewhere in the middle. You know, yeah, they've still got all like the MIDI switching, and you know, there's some clever stuff going on in this amp by the looks of things. And they've got, you know, they've spent a bit of time working on the emulated output and things like that. It would be very easy for them to go, nah, all that market's just buying Kempers and stuff. Let's do one of them, or probably more likely go the other way. Because in their time, Hughes and Kettner have done some retro stuff. Can you remember what that amp was called, Matt? That Hughes and Kettner that was like, I mean, it just looked like a Marshall head or something.
Yeah, yeah, they also did some like vintage preamps, and I can't for the life of me remember what they were called.
I think they would be more likely to go down that route than they would be to do a Kemper, and at the moment they're sitting somewhere in the middle. And for players who want actual valves but want things that, you know, work well with MIDI switches and and have like loads of channels and loads of options, Hughes and Kettner are kind of the only people doing that mass market.
I mean, I still think having the red box on board kind of makes them such a desirable recording app. I certainly think something like what you've got is more where Hughes and Kettner are absolutely the best. Because if I had to buy a small amp that I wanted to use to record something, if I had a home studio, then getting one of the little TubeMeister 15s with a red box in it, that, I mean, you know you're going to get all the high quality sound from the amp itself, and red box is a great option for recording.
Definitely.
I mean, I bought a separate just red box on its own a number of years ago, and that's what I used when I did the live podcast when we ended up doing the solo one. And actually, the guitar sound straight in sounded amazing.
Yeah.
You know, patched through the head, because all you're doing is like tapping the feed from the head basically, but it sounds really, really good.
Yeah. They're a cool bit of kit, and this, like you say, sounds like it's got the latest version, which should make that even better. Should we do some questions? We got a few minutes left on this podcast.
Question.
Wow, that was really enthusiastic.
Yeah, sorry,
let's do some questions. Let's take something from Facebook. Jay, if there's anything from YouTube while we've got those people here, we should do that. Mm-hmm. And then we'll hop over onto the Patreon episode and do Brand of the Week, and we'll do some more questions from the Facebook group.
Brand
as well.
Of the Week.
Not yet.
Oh.
Not yet. This was, what section is this now?
Questionable Men.
Michael says, are you guys doing anything special for the 100th episode Packham quiz? Jay said he doesn't mind doing it in front of an audience. The Guitar Nerds pub quiz of the year. Jay, you don't mind doing it in front of an audience?
Well, I mean, you know, I've never been shy.
We've got this webcam, so, hello, you know, you're all set to go. Anyway, I was thinking about this. How far away are we? We're probably about 3 months away from episode 100, something like that.
God. Have we got enough time to organise something? I don't know if we do.
I mean, all we need is a room in a pub somewhere, and we just get people to come along.
Do you remember the last time we got to episode 100?
Yeah, that's when I quit
Packham
last
left.
Time. Yeah. So we could do something. I mean, I don't know. Would you, if you're listening to this now, would you travel down? You know, let us know on Facebook. Let us know in the YouTube comments now. Would you travel down to Brighton, which is where we do it, because we're not going to the filthy London? I mean, I don't know if you've been listening to this podcast, but you can literally hear children being murdered from Matt's room. Like,
would Matt come, or would he still be on the computer?
Matt would still be on Skype. He's only allowed. He's not allowed to meet people in real life.
Yeah. So it'd be the three of us sat in a pub somewhere with Matt on Skype, sort of, but the internet like, definitely should, won't be as good.
Like Crichton, not Crichton, Holly from Red Dwarf, just a floating head. Matt, can we just like put some black fabric around you and just pop your head through
I need a green screen behind me anyway, I think, for future podcasts, really.
I mean, this laptop barely keeps up with it as it is. If it's got a key out, a green screen, I think we'd really struggle. So, yes, we will do, I think we're almost certain to do something special for episode 100, whether it's a live thing with an audience.
It should be a live
know.
Thing. Yeah, it
where
be a
are
live
we?
Thing.
What's this? Is this 88 or 89? I think this is 89, isn't it?
Is it? So, yeah, we are. But,
and it's also, close. There's going to be five Gear of the Year podcasts, which are going to take us up to.
Yeah.
We might not hit 100.
Do they count, though? Do they count?
They do count.
Well, they do, because they
counted last time, so they do count. So
I don't know if we'll make it to episode 100.
We'll see.
Before we, in time to figure something out.
Yeah, we'll try, though. I think we should try.
I think we should try.
A live one would be good.
I think so.
How many people are going
to
come?
I was just trying to work out the date.
Well, that's why we need to put it to the group. Yeah. Let us know if you're watching on YouTube. Let us know if you're in the Facebook group. Would you come down to
a
pub?
Can we charge? We
somewhere
charge
in Brighton.
Like 15 quid ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be £25 in.
20 plus booking fee.
Yeah, yeah. Plus £50 booking fee.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. 75 quid.
I think we've actually... The 100th... podcast will fall somewhere on or around my 30th birthday.
Oh, now we're talking.
Maybe what we should do is we should get a narrow boat and the four of us on a narrow boat, and we'll go along the Thames, and depending on where you live in London, yeah, you can hop on for five minutes or so.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to do that.
Sounds I think good. We should do that though. Well,
maybe
that sounds
at some
great.
Point.
Let's take one more question. Are there any questions from YouTube, Jay?
Well, there was quite an in-depth question, which is almost a question within itself, almost a topic within itself, but I think it is quite interesting.
Okay.
And something that maybe we should have a think about, and I think like it's more of a like a Patreon episode of its own. So Juan wants to know, do you think that the new Friedman guitars will be an amazing new addition to the boutique Fender style offering, or will it just be a way of Friedman offering a way to cash in on their good reputation?
No, they look absolutely brilliant. I think they're going to be.
I'm not even seen these yet.
Very, very welcome, Matt. You have Matt. You saw one and fell in love with it, didn't you? You even got
what
to play
was that,
one.
Sorry?
The Friedman
guitars.
Oh,
do you think?
Yeah.
So well, actually, ostensibly, the question is: Are
they going to be any good?
Are the Friedman's going to be good?
And actually, I think it's more of a broad question than that. At least that's the way I interpreted it. It's like, you know, are companies like, for example, Friedman or I guess Suhr to a certain extent, are they bringing something new to the table, or are they just going Fender? I can do that.
Okay. I think we're seeing a fall off in the quality from the big brands, and we're certainly seeing the big brands sit back on their laurels a little bit.
I was going to say one thing I didn't actually announce. I was probably going to wait.
You're pregnant.
Yeah, I have actually custom ordered one of those Friedman guitars for my 30th birthday.
Matt, right, so what we're going to do is we're going to do the quiz in a pub, Matt's 30th birthday, and you have to unwrap that guitar live on stage.
How did you keep that from us?
Well, it's basically coming from a combination of in-laws, my family, Amy, and myself as a... and the kind people at Anton's.
Unbelievable. I got socks for my 30th birthday.
Did you really? Well, I mean, what does that say about you as a person?
No, no one likes me.
Exactly that. I'm glad you finally realised.
But I honestly, I played that guitar, and I have to say, hands down, was probably... And I would put that in one of the top five guitars I've ever played.
Oh, really? God. You say that about everything. We've just done an entire Gear of the Year where me and Jay had to put up with you repeating that a particular guitar was one of the best guitars you'd ever played.
No, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of guitars, but this one...
There are a lot of guitars.
There are a lot of guitars.
I honestly think is if... No matter... Everyone's got a personal preference, but if you play a guitar and you generally think, oh, I love this guitar, but if you genuinely think I actually want to buy it, I think that's a genuinely a good sign that it's a fantastic guitar. But in terms of sound, in terms of the design, in terms of the way that it's just kind of put together, I definitely think they're bringing something different to the guitar rather than just being a Fender or a Gibson, because every element's been thought about and it's been put together in a way that gives it a vintage look, but a completely brand new sound.
I'm excited
and
to see this.
The sustain on it is incredible. But the way the bolt on neck works, they've also, not only is it four screws, there's two metal dowling rods in there that help it stay in place for added sustain. And I mean, it literally gives you all the sustain.
I'm excited to see this. Definitely.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're
nice
one.
Guitar. Really nice guitar. Mahogany body, maple neck, rosewood fretboards,
a mahogany body Telecaster.
Mm hmm.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. With that, we're up at time. I think that because we've been podcasting for nearly half a... Well, no. Yeah, nearly half a day over the last
18
two
hours
days.
Over the last.
Yeah, it's gone up to 25 hours. Yeah. 98 25 hours.
25 years.
It feels like we've been podcasting for 25 years.
I'm really looking forward to the 24-hour podcast that we do. Yeah. That's going to be well good.
I think so.
We'll do that for a charity.
Bring your sleeping bags.
Railway children or something.
YouTube can't handle more than 12 hours of video, so we're going to have to work out a way to maybe split it in two. But I've got more exciting things to bring to the table for the 20.
We can have a toilet break.
Tables all
hours.
Around the world, J Cross.
Holy
I'm bringing
granoli.
Something to tables all around the world.
I think really what we should do is we should like do a podcast as normal, and then the three of us should leave and lock the door and leave Joe and just see what happens.
Yeah.
See how long it takes for him to forget that he's being filmed.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it would take very long.
It's Big Brother, but Joe's the only contestant.
put a bass and an amp, or a bass with some headphones in the corner, and just... I really don't think it would take long before Joe forgets that the camera's there.
There's
and
some
starts
madness.
Just being like,
I'm wacky, I'm crazy.
And then we'll come back 23 hours later and finish the podcast.
Yeah, Joe's just naked and lying in his own vomit.
When are we doing
hasn't
the Branton
even been
Random?
Drugs. Well, whenever you want to record it.
Well, I'm
over
talking
Christmas.
To you.
Yeah. Over Christmas.
Yeah,
anyway.
On Christmas.
That is something that you will find over on our Patreon Patreon page? I've lost the, I started the sentence and was like,
it's gonna
what
be
is
okay.
Patreon? Is it a page?
It's going to be all right. A Patreon.
Head to patreon.com/guitar nerds where you can get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week. This week we're going to be doing Joe Branton's Brant of the Week. Brant of the Week? Brand of the Week.
Oh, my.
God, it's been a long 25 hours.
Joe Brand from QI.
Joe Brand.
Of QI fame.
Joe Brand's Branton of the Week.
Yeah.
And every week it's not Joe Branton.
There's a famous baseball player called Joe Branton.
Is there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Joe Brand talks about every other person named Branton who isn't you.
Great.
That's my new favourite podcast.
Wonderful.
Patreon.com/guitar nerds where you get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week. Or for as little as $10 a month, you become one of our executive Patreon backers like these people have.
Chris Connors, Hunty Troy, Steve Michael, Blair, Tom's Connors, Manchester, Andrew, Marco, Mark Cross, J.D. Shaw, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Corrigan, Jack Comfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Dobson, Laurie Anthony, Moe Gravin, Colin Henderson.
There we go, that was good fun.
I really don't think anybody would mind if you took a breath. Like,
I don't think anyone would mind if he wasn't here. I don't think anyone would mind if he never took a breath ever again. With that, if you agree with that, head to facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can tell Joe Branton that on Twitter @Joseph_900. You can follow us at Guitar Nerds on Twitter, at Guitar Nerds on Instagram. Head to YouTube if you're not already there, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos.
Good little chat this week.
I think today's been good.
Well, also in the YouTube channel. Good. It's been pretty good this week. So
well,
thanks
done,
very much for everyone joining in. I'm not going to read anyone's names out because that would take too much time.
Good.
Thank you.
Join us this time every week, 8 o'clock UK time on Monday nights for the live version of this podcast. You get to see all of the bits that I don't cut out in the actual podcast, which generally is none. Anyway, see you again next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.